welcome to the No Self Podcast, your weekly home for all things wrestling. This week, we'll be talking about Backlash France. Is that what they kept calling it? Omega and the Elite, and all the other news in the wrestling world. But first, I'm your host, Joseph Lessel. I'm alongside with the model, the human wrestling database, Corey Mack.
I am here and ready to discuss the goings-on in the world of professional wrestling.
And we're joined by, and you are again?
I am the voice of a generation, the Dekai Sensei, Jeff Mack. And I know it's been a long time since I've been regularly on this show, and I feel like I need to make something very clear, make my stance on this. And as we've been acknowledging people and talking about who has property rights over houses, there's one thing that I need everyone to know and to make perfectly clear: that I believe in Joe Hendry.
Oh my God.
Clap, yes. I believe in Joe Hendry.
Is he a good wrestler? I just want to know.
He's very entertaining.
I get that. Like, I know him. I remember him from what culture?
Oh, and, wow, that's Bologna.
Right? Yeah.
He's in a much better shape now.
Yeah, he is. But
he's entertaining.
Yeah.
Over as hell with the TNA crowd.
Oh, yeah. No, over a period. I like Joe Hendry. But it's asking if Zack Ryder's a good wrestler. He's entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we can thank
Jericho. That might be the comp. That might be the comp, actually.
Very, very good. Okay. Comp, yeah.
I would say we should thank Jericho because he introduced sing-along songs. And if it wasn't for him.
Oh, if it wasn't for Chris Jericho, we wouldn't have anything in this wonderful land of ours.
That's right. You know, or if not, we just riot, right?
We wouldn't have music. The world wouldn't be in color, and we wouldn't have SCs.
That is true. Let's talk about Backlash, shall we?
Do we have to?
Why not?
Backlash français.
Buongiorno. That's my French. It was in Wichita State, right? If I recall.
I believe that's what you say, because you do know maps.
I do maps.
Little known fact, the Fabulous Frères were the French announcers for the show.
It was according to them the highest grossing like arena show.
They need to quit like pubbing that, like we're supposed to be proud of it.
Yeah, right.
It only had 12,000 people in there, so that means the average ticket price was about $300 in French. That's hard. So they want their fans to celebrate the fact that they're raping them over the fucking coals just to attend their goddamn events.
You enjoy us, right? Here you go.
You get one show. If you want another one, you're going to make you pay for it in more of the ways than one.
Yeah. Vince is going to start raping French women.
I will say the fans put America to shame.
Well, that's not hard to do. It's,
yeah. Yeah. Because I know little Devin sent a text asking us what we felt about the crowd being involved, and I enjoy it.
I mean, I was all for it. I will admit, by the midpoint of the main event, I was like, okay, now they're just playing for themselves.
Yeah.
So you have to strike that balance.
Again. Yeah. But, I mean, they were good. I'm never going to say that a live fucking crowd is bad. That's what you want.
Yeah. It's like it's in over in like Europe with like basketball, they have like, you know, a student sections basically in their basketball leagues, and flags and waving and like chants and dancing and all that. And then you look at like any America sports thing, it's just, yep.
Oh, it's
good. Yeah, game. Yeah, that was a nice catch.
It's the same getting a chance to see Japanese baseball versus American baseball. The fan bases are so different. The fact that you have dedicated fans who go to every road game to do the chants and to wave the flags and to blow trumpets and stuff like that is absolutely amazing. And then you watch a game here in America and it's like, oh yeah, 90% of the crowd's just staring at their phone.
Especially if it's an LA Dodger game. They arrive in the third inning.
Yeah.
Leave halfway through the sixth.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was gonna say, did you see the article about the one Oakland fan that's kind of doing that?
That's what I was gonna bring up, that
He's boycotting the home games, but he's attending every road game.
he's a season ticket holder.
That's fantastic.
And he's avoiding home games but going to every that's the dream.
I think I saw that the White Sox game, the fans were boycotting the home games. Oh no, that was just
Well, that's
a
just
White
because
Sox
it's the
game.
White Sox. Yeah, it's a thing. Welcome to our
So
baseball podcast.
yeah, I'm all for it.
Yeah, back to
Back to
ideal.
four quarters. Yeah. Four innings. So we I know me and Jeff, we went to a little surplus sale, so I missed the beginning of the pay-per-view, but I rewatched it. And we were just like debating on what goes on first. And what I didn't think this was gonna be the match that was gonna go on first, because I didn't know that the tag team match that wasn't a title match was gonna be become a street fight
Oh,
as
I totally picked the order. You know how I did it?
huh.
I thought, okay, what's the most predictable fucking pattern Triple H could put this pay-per-view on in? And I fucking nailed it.
So
I
the
knew
first,
since there were two women's matches, they'd be right in the middle,
yeah.
like the second and the fourth matches. They're very regimented there. They like to do things a certain way.
As the first match was a tag team street fight, as the Bloodline defeats Kevin Owens and Randy Orton in 19 and a half minutes. Bonkers match.
Yeah, no, this was crazy. Kevin Owens was on one. He was amped to like the 12th degree. Randy Orton, I noticed, I'm not complaining. This was smart. It's a veteran move. He did the veteran thing where you walk around, you don't really do much. Kevin did most of the heavy lifting on that team. Orton did a few bumps, but he was smart. And Solo and Tama were good. This was a good match. I would be remiss if I didn't throw this in here real quick. And Jeff, you'll immediately understand what I'm going for here. You gotta love Tongaloa. The more things change, the more things stay the same.
Oh, God.
If there was one guy that would be guaranteed to botch his first move in a company,
It had to be Loa.
it's Tongaloa. Yep. The referee had to pull himself out of the damn ring.
You've got to do one thing, just
You had one job.
one
Well,
thing.
I saw the fan camera picture. He
Yeah.
was he was wrestling the towel off his head. He couldn't get the damn towel off his head.
Are you surprised?
Yeah,
Were
because
you surprised?
there hasn't been any talk of his contract being up yet. I mean, we knew it was coming,
Yeah.
but to kind of just knowing how, I mean, I don't mean to throw shade on him because I'm glad he's here and I think he's a perfect fit for what they're doing. But losing him isn't exactly going to hurt New Japan. They may have just said, fuck it, just walk, go. You got a couple months left, but I don't give a shit. Go. Debut. Do your thing.
Well,
We're
this is
good.
something. Yeah, this is something Joe and I talked a little bit about before the show. Is if you're going to lose one of Tongaloa and Hikuleo, I'm pretty happy to keep Hikuleo if I'm New Japan. Granted, who knows what's happening with that contract situation right now? Because I've
I was gonna
heard
say,
different things with him and ELP's contracts over the last 6 months that are contradictory.
everything I've heard is that Hikuleo is done in like June. So I expect him to be here sooner than later. ELP, I don't know about.
Yeah, I had heard January, I had heard June, I had heard a whole bunch of different things.
Well, most contracts are done in January in New Japan or Japan period, so it would make sense that would be it. But you never know these days. Things have got to be a little different nowadays. Look, he's gonna go too. The whole family, they're gonna run into this. They're gonna have 85 Samoans on the roster. Because they just keep popping up out of nowhere. They just keep fucking showing up.
Yeah.
Ones
So
I didn't even
legitimately
miss
gonna
it.
get to NWO levels of Samoans.
Oh yeah. And it's gonna be fucking ridiculous.
Well, I'll bring it up now because me and Jeff had this discussion about, so WrestleMania upcoming, right?
Yeah.
It's gonna be Rock and Roman, right? But assuming.
Assuming.
Okay. So one of the things is, do you have Roman wrestle? like solo at Rumble, or do you have Roman kind of do what Roman's been doing and kind of his next big match will be at WrestleMania?
Dude, I mean, if you can't see clear as day, this is going to be the War Games match in Survivor Series. I don't know what the fuck you're thinking. Oh, come on. Clear as day, this is going to be a War Games match. Bloodline versus Bloodline. I mean, it's going to be.
So who's on? Are you going to have on the babyface Bloodline team some non-Samoan Bloodline or just?
I mean, it's WWE. Doing? They can do whatever they want. It can be Sami Zayn.
The honorary.
So. Or, hey, honorary Tongans, Chase Owens could come in.
How's Fale's contract looking?
Yeah, what's Fale? You know, he's over there in New Zealand doing that.
War Games, okay. So then do you do – that was one thing that never came across my mind. Do you do, like, G.O.D. versus Usos?
Woo! Yes. I mean, you do. You obviously do at some point. But can I just break this down real quick here?
Yes.
For all the people online that were like, oh, man, we're finally going to get to Usos versus G.O.D. It's about to be fire. Let me just – if everybody has their working shoes on, that could be just fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just fine. However, if even two of them are having an off day, that could be the goddamn worst fucking tag team match that has ever happened in the history of the business.
Well, we just had the brothers face each other, so.
And I mean, that could be god awful. Let's hope it's not.
So a question for you, Corey, is do you save that for, say, Mania, or do you do like a six-man bloodline at Mania? Or we're going after War Games, we're gonna just make it Rock Roman for Mania. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want, in my mind, I'm loving the new bloodline. I don't want them to fall back in down to, you know, solo just doing nothing.
Well, that's exactly what's going to happen, though, unfortunately.
That's what Jeff said. Yep.
If you think for a moment they're going to turn Roman babyface and reunite the Usos and not have them kill the other side, I mean, that's WWE booking. It's going to be like, I mean, you might as well. This new bloodline's fucking awesome, but by the time Roman and the Usos are back together and a unit, these guys might as well be the black and white in WO.
B team?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, they're going to be fucking jobbing every fucking match.
Yeah.
That's not what should happen. You should have fucking Solo go over Roman.
Because we were talking about, like, just like, how do you keep Solo's bloodline strong? And Jeff said that Roman and Solo should go one-on-one at Mania, not Mania, at Rumble.
That was kind of an idea of just trying to figure out how we're getting, you know, a way of building Roman to Rock that makes some sense and can somehow keep Solo somewhat strong. But it all leads to the only thing that matters is the money you're going to make off of Roman and Rock.
Although, can we not do Roman and Rock? That'd be cool.
That would be amazing. Because we all know now what the main event of WrestleMania should be. It should be a pure boxing match between Tongaloa and Shane McMahon.
Oh, yes. Obviously. I mean,
the best working punches in the history of professional wrestling.
Just ask Okada. Those fucking punches from Loa were so desperate. Anyway, he had to fucking jump ship to AEW and get out of there. God damn.
Now, Rick, we went on that discussion of how to keep both sides strong if you want to go, if we're leading to a, besides War Games, a Mania type night for them or two nights.
Look, I know I'm probably in the minority here, but I'm below on Triple H's booking. He only has one storyline. He keeps repeating it with everything, and that's dissension within a group. So shocking this is happening right now. But what's going to happen is they're going to have their fight. The Roman and the Usos are going to fucking annihilate the other team until they're impotent. And then they're just going to combine them all together again to fight the baby faces. Like, that's what it'll have. It'll be like fucking 99 WCW. They'll be the bloodline elite. You know, the fucking Roman and the Usos and fucking Jacob Fatu. And
can they call themselves that? Or will the internet go crazy that they were calling themselves the elite in some way?
Oh, yeah. They probably... they probably can't do that. It'll be the Bloodline, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, it's, they're going to end up all together. It'll be a fucking group of 75. 75 Samoans and Tongans all mixed together.
The Ultimate War Games.
And fucking Sami Zayn. Just
and Sami
in
Zayn.
The background.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy. But, I mean, I like... The only problem I see going forward, though, is they want Solo to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And how the fuck do you put Jacob Fatu with him and not have Jacob Fatu blow him out of the water when it comes to talent?
Yeah, because we were talking about that too. Like, once Fatu shows up, what's your tag team situation? You know, because we mentioned it before that we love the idea of Solo and Tama together. Now you bring the brother in, so is it G.O.D.? And then is it G.O.D. and Fatu, which Jeff mentioned, you know, the free bird rule, you know, New Day type thing. Of,
what you do when you bring in Hikaleo eventually, which I'm... Hikaleo is better than Tongaloa in the ring.
Oh, yes. Yes.
But
that is true.
Hikaleo, I think he still needs a little more cooking when it comes to getting used to that frame and how he uses it in a match. He showed in the G1 that he's much better, much further along than I thought he was. But I still think I'd want him in an NXT run if anything right now, not a main event spot.
That's the problem, is I agree. He needs a little bit of extra seasoning. The only problem is with this storyline going, I mean, I think you just have to throw him straight up there. And that's the bad part. But yes, he's better than Tongaloa. I will say Tongaloa has better presence than he does at this point.
Yeah.
Because Hikaleo, that's the one thing Hikaleo doesn't seem to have figured out either, is the presence. You know, being the big guy that he is.
You could see flashes of it in matches against Tsuji in G1, but...
You know, when he gets a chance to fight with the big boys, it kind of comes out, but the rest of the time, it's... it's just comfort.
The tag
time.
Team, he was relying on ELP to be all of the charisma, which is easy to do because ELP is amazing, but...
That's weird. It's such a weird, weird fucking time frame.
Right. You had Solo being the quiet one, then Tama was the quiet one, and now is it Tonga gonna be the quiet one, and then Hikaleo is gonna be the quiet one. It's like
I'm kinda worried about Tongaloa showing up just because I really fucking dug what they've done with Tama Tonga so far as the silent, unpredictable goddamn killer.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid that might go by the wayside just to have them be a team now again.
That's okay. We're obviously missing the key in this. The last piece that has to come over to make this complete.
No.
Nia Jax.
God.
I was going to say Jado.
Oh, yeah, well. Yeah, I could.
I want Jado.
I could see Triple H being like, yo, we need Jado. First, you have to be like, who's Jado?
Don't worry. I saw a lot of people reactions of who's Tongaloa, so.
That's Camacho, goddammit.
That's what everyone kept was looking. Yeah, I digress. Let's go to the next match. Triple threat match for the WWE Women's Championship. Bayley defeats Naomi with a roll up and Tiffany Stratton. 13 minutes.
I wish it would have been Tiffy time.
I think that Rumble.
That's a long ways away. But you never
SummerSlam. I meant SummerSlam.
Okay. Possible. A lot of people loved this match. I just thought it was okay.
It was okay.
Bayley's cooked, and Naomi's terrible. And that's a lot of pressure for a still green rookie to be the worker in it. But she did a good job.
Yeah.
And Bayley may be cooked physically, but she knows what to do, so she can hide it. She can.
I saw the match, and then she wins with a roll up against Naomi. I'm like, Naomi, you're just here for to be pinned.
Better her getting pinned than being champion.
I mean, yes, anything but that. And again, they bring her back and they just copy TNA's presentation of her with the theme song and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's complete. I mean, it's a refreshing change, but at the same time, I was like, damn, you're not even trying anymore. You just, all right, you were over in TNA with this. We're just gonna copy the entire fucking thing.
Yeah, and it's to me, it's still not the it's not been a good. And she might think it's a good return for her, but like watching, it's like, didn't you get jobbered entrance last week or the week before? You know, it's just like, you're here, you know.
Let's face facts. She's there because her husband works there.
Yep.
And there's nothing. I mean, it sucks, but there's nothing we can do about it. Not a bad paycheck if you can get it, but her competing in a serious level, no, that's she's not good at
It died once she lit her WWE belt when she won it and had it all a light up belt when.
all. Dude, I'm about to get to that point on my review of 2017. Thanks for bringing that to my attention.
I'm sorry. Well, I did. I spoiled it. My bad. I just.
Speaking of that, I've been watching WrestleMania 33 for what feels like 7 days. Eventually, it's gonna finish. It's bound to.
The fun part is it doesn't. It just keeps going.
Oh my God.
The next match was for the World Heavyweight Championship. Damian Priest defeating main event Jey Uso in 15:45.
So you remember when Ted DiBiase and then later Bruce Pritchard stole it and popularized it when he said the Ultimate Warrior was fantastic and a huger than life superstar with that music on and then the bell rang?
Yep.
That's now Jey Uso. That motherfucker looked like the biggest star in the history of wrestling during that entrance.
That was sick.
That was
Both nights.
amazing.
Both nights were sick.
And then the bell rang.
Yeah.
And we got just a mid standard ass wrestling match that would be on hour two of Raw. And this is supposed to be like the world title on that brand. So, I mean, yeah, this is great.
Yeah, it does nothing to help Damian Priest try to elevate his position.
No, and they both missed a couple spots. I honestly think it's Jey Uso is just fucking. He's a tag wrestler, and it's. I know he's over, or
The songs of,
the
well, it was at
youth
a
thing is
Cleveland,
over.
the Cavs playoff game. They played that song and they tried to have people yeet.
Did it work?
I don't know. The only camera angle was at the DJ who was standing on the like staircase, like, come on, everyone. That's about it.
Oh, no. I think
Why
the best worker in the match was Finn Balor. Those bumps were phenomenal.
and you talked about it earlier about how Triple H's one thing is destroying factions and
Yeah, look, they're doing it for the fourth time. They're doing the whole Judgment Day can't trust each other fucking. He's got one trick, man.
well, the Final Testament's now on Raw, so that should be, that's the new Judgment Day, right?
Oh my God, that feud. I can't wait for that fucking feud.
Let's hope it happens, because,
Imagine Damian Priest and Karrion Kross for the goddamn world title.
That thought just crossed my mind and about made me puke.
Book it, SummerSlam, let's go.
In a stadium, damn it.
Is Priest trying to be a baby face, like, because of the aftermath of the match? Because him, like, we're not attacking him anymore, it's over.
That's just it. It doesn't make sense. It's a stupid storyline because he should be all for them fucking helping him.
Yeah,
Because the Judgment Day is very much a heel fucking faction. Ugh.
I just assumed someone was coming out to make the save kind of thing, but like they attack Uso and he's like, "Stop, guys, we're done, we're done." And she's like, "What? Wh why?"
Maybe they're breaking up the Judgment Day now that Rhea's injured. Maybe they're going to try to go babyface Priest as champion because that'll fucking work.
Yeah, I think they are because of them doing the Liv
Well, I got news for you.
Morgan
If you,
with
if you,
Dom situation,
I was
Latino
gonna say, if
Heat.
you break up Judgment Day, then fucking Dom's worthless unless you can get him over with Liv for the inevitable Rhea Liv fucking feud over the goddamn over Dominic. Maybe
Dominic
they'll have a
on
ladder match as
a
well.
custody battle, baby. I'm all
God.
for it.
Is Vicky gonna be late again getting into the ring?
Where the fuck is Vicky?
Although I did appreciate Ray's promo the other day calling Dominic Dirty Sanchez with that mustache and then then saying he should have let Eddie win the ladder match all those years ago.
Good old JR mentioned that when we were talking to him the other day. He's like, they really said that on live TV? Like, yeah.
Yep.
Corey,
Triple H has no idea what a dirty Sanchez is.
that's true. Corey, do you have any star ratings for these first three?
Oh, fuck. Yeah. 4.25 for the first match. two and three quarters for the women, and this was three. It's a middling three.
Okay.
That's basic standard-ass Jey Uso match.
And then the next match was a tag team match for the women's tag team championships as Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill defeat the Kabuki Warriors to win the women's tag team championships in 17 and a half minutes.
Which was about 15 minutes too much. Oh my God. So, you know the part I'm going to talk about, right? When they all got fucking lost.
Yep.
And apparently Kyrie was supposed to not be the legal person in the ring. Although I was watching the match. I thought she was legal.
She was.
So the ref was wrong too. Okay, cool. Everybody got lost.
Yeah.
Cool.
Ref. Yeah. The Kyrie. Yeah. Kyrie went for the pin. Ref's like, you're not the legal one. And then she continued then put Bianca in an arm bar. It's like, you're not the legal one.
They just wrestle for two more minutes, and she tags Asuka.
Yep.
Even though Asuka's supposed to be the legal one in the ring.
And tags Asuka, and the ref's like, tag. And it's like, what?
Bianca doesn't know what's going on. Jade acts like she's on a fucking other planet. She's so fucking lost. She doesn't know what's going on.
And that's the entire point of setting up this match is that you're putting her in there with three workers that know what they're doing so that she can be kind of led along to somewhat be competent in the match. And now they're all lost and you're fucked.
Oh man, this thing was a fucking clusterfuck from that. And it wasn't exactly great before then.
Yeah.
But holy shit, this got out of whack. And I was like, how are three wrestlers that fucking good having this match? Because it's not like Jade was bringing it down. She was never in the fucking match. She hardly did shit.
Yeah, it's you needed that leadership, especially again. You have Asuka, you have Kyrie. Bianca's been very good over the last couple of years, and I trust her in a match of that caliber.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a women's tag team match. And yeah, you just don't expect that to happen.
Yeah, it was not good.
Blame jet lag.
And Joe, I'm begging you. Yeah, just blame the jet lag. Joe,
yeah.
Now's the chance. Not that you've been, but I need somebody to tell me if I'm wrong or not. Are you going to defend Jade at this point, or is she just suck? Is it just five moves and that's it?
Yeah. she's not there. She's
buddy. It's been 3 years. If she ain't there little bit, she ain't ever gonna be there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. She looks
like she's counting steps in the ring unless she's doing her five moves that she's learned how to do.
Yeah. Well, and then they did a spot twice of like the Asuka with a backhand and Kyrie with a kick, backhand kick type thing. And they did it like twice. And it's just like, and then the second time, you know, she reversed it and doing the, like a slam. And then she did the people freaked out about the, which it is impressive. The Kyrie jumps off the top and then she catches her and then flips her.
Oh, the old Sky Blue spot she did.
Yeah,
Sky
I was going to say, they did that Sky Blue at the show we were at.
Yeah. It's a cool spot. It's cool looking.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, I think everybody was talking about how, like, oh my God, they just won when they signed her. They just won everything. It's a game changer. And it's like, no, I think there was a reason there wasn't a bidding war.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I told, and we mentioned this, like, I think we knew they were going to be winning the title because of the, you know, they want to push Jade and Bianca to the moon. And how do you do that? You put them on both shows.
Well, they also figured out, oh crap, Jade can't work a singles match, so we have to put her in a tag team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Until Triple H eventually gets to where he wants to be and dissension.
Yeah. And then I want to be the star. No, I'm the star.
Can they coexist? Not at WrestleMania.
I mean, it's, you know, and their tag team fits the other Triple H mold. They're both African American. Just saying. Yep. Got to be together. Oh, it sucks. It was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's like 15 too long. The main event for the Undisputed WWE Championship, Cody Rhodes defeats AJ Styles in 27 and a half minutes.
This was a really good match.
Yeah, yes, it was.
I only gave it a flat four, though. I didn't like it as much as the opening match just because that was so uncontrollable. And
yeah,
fun.
I agree.
But this was a good match. And I have my hot take of the night. I think out of everybody on the card, AJ was by far the best worker, best performer on the show. Which has been a while since I've thought that.
Well, I'd say maybe he was a little more motivated here. Somebody that really meshes well with him, knows him very well, similar storylines. He was jacked for this match.
Oh, yeah. Shows he still has it. Like, yeah. He's not the AJ Styles at his absolute prime, but he's still a very fucking good wrestler.
I'll steal an old line. He's as good as he, he's as good once as he was ever was.
Thank you, Toby. And that'll take some whiskey for my men and beer for my horses.
Red Solo Cup, but.
Yeah. I will say the only thing I didn't like about this is just nitpicking because, I like my history of wrestling and I get it. Everything is a fucking transition move, but to no sell kick out at one after a burning hammer, I was like, What?
The burning hammer, right, was illegal. Who did it in Japan that only did it seven times?
Kenta Kobashi.
Yeah.
And then we saw it in, of all places, the Cruiserweight Classic.
Right? And then Cody just treats it like it's a goddamn fucking snapmare. Damn it.
It was,
keep things sacred.
Yep. Yeah. I would say one of the cool things was the, like, the fans doing their whatever routine and dancing during the AJ intro, and like he's standing still, but the camera's shaking.
No, the crowd again was great, although this was the match where they kept singing that one song about being phenomenal.
Yeah.
Over and over again, even when he wasn't doing anything. Yeah. And I was like, all right, now you're just trying to get yourself.
They're both on the ground, and you're a phenomenal.
You're already.
But. What do you think of Cody? I know your AJ was the more, but 2.5 Cody.
But he was fine. He carried his end.
Yeah.
He carried his end. He did just fine. I mean, he's what he is. He's improved. He's not 2.5 Cody anymore. He's like 3.5 Cody.
Huh?
It's like 3.25, 3.5 Cody. He can very much fill his end of the spill. You know what he's going to give you, and it's good enough.
And then you give him a dance partner. Dance partner, like AJ.
I have a question for you guys, and you may not be there yet. But I, in the lead up to this and to this match, I kind of felt something, and I don't know if it's good or not. Or I don't know if I'm right, but I kind of feel like I'm not really feeling Cody is the champ. Kind of think. Maybe the chase was better than the actual being the man.
100% agree. And actually, this is something I think Joe and I talked about last week before the show. Is I don't think Cody's long to be champion.
I hope not, because I just so far I'm like, you know what? This doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not feeling it.
And again, if you go back to just the history of professional wrestling, it almost always works better to have a heel champion and the babyface chase. That's when you have the best storylines.
WWE was the exception during the Hogan, during the Bruno Backlund and Hogan eras.
Exactly.
Every other place did the heel champion, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as we know, Triple H claims to be and has shown to be somebody who loves the old school way of doing things. When it comes to booking a storyline, simple, it's not going to break any barriers, but oh my goodness, you have a dominant heel champion in the waiting. He happens to be foreign heel. Oh my goodness. Is that a possibility in the near future?
Ah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
May have to do with a certain tournament coming up.
Well, I don't know. Once Sheamus is comparing him to
That was a great tweet. He shouldn't have deleted it.
Yeah.
Fuck, it was a great tweet.
That's got to be where this is all going.
Stand behind it, damn it.
And I don't think you get to the end of summer with Cody being champion.
I kind of hope not, because it just isn't feeling it. I'm not feeling it. I mean, I'm happy for him, but I ain't feeling it. I'm like, someone else.
There's no, not heart, but there's this no like intrigue of like, we went like 4 months of Cody chasing, and now it's, where do we go from here?
And Cody's over. I mean, the crowd loves him.
Yeah.
That, what was it like 115 decibels on the whoa when he got did his entrance in France? That was amazing. But he almost gets to the point, I think, right now with Cody, where he's so over, he doesn't need the belt.
I can't decide if I just like the idea of the chase better, or now that he has the belt, I don't know if he just doesn't feel like a champ to me.
I can see that.
It's weird, though. I don't get it, but it's weird. Hopefully, either it clicks or they change. And I'm not saying they should need to change course for business. Business is on fire. This company will forever continue to fall upward.
Succeed despite itself. Gotta love it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, like the, what, you know, where do we go with Cody? Because the next pay-per-view is
King and Queen of the Ring.
So you give him a one-off opponent there.
Well, it's gonna be a shitty title reign if he just continually has one-off opponents. That doesn't build a strong reign.
Do you maybe do AJ, AJ again?
Maybe. I mean, I got news for you. Also, looking at the, I mean, they loaded Raw on that draft. And if you look at the single stars on SmackDown, especially since he's a babyface, if you look at the heel side, they do not have a lot of depth to put up against him.
No.
It's very much like the Bloodline. And then what else in terms of heels?
If Cody loses the title quick, do you put that in the gold watch? You know, like with like Big E, Kofi type thing. Like, here's your gold watch for being a good, you know, a company man for so long. Or is this, do you think it would be different with Cody losing the title quickly? And so just like, because of, you know, the story for 2 years and.
No, it's not a gold watch. It's more like, hey, you got hot as fuck, but once you got it, it just didn't work. Sometimes it happens. It's like the Ultimate Warrior. Ultimate Warrior was over as fuck in 1990. I can see the thought process of giving him the world title.
Yeah.
But as soon as he had the world title, it was almost like, oh, this is not going to work.
It's kind of like, you know, what we talked about when Zack Ryder won the U.S. title. Once he won, that next night, we're like, and it's done.
Yeah.
I'm going to save this for later. I have Lamy. Jeff, I've got the 8-man tag with the Blackpool Combat Club in Arena, Mexico.
Oh yeah,
let's save that for later.
Yeah, that's dessert.
All I saw was Brian Danielson walking down Arena, Mexico. I'm like, what?
But to go back to Cody and that, yeah, it's definitely not the gold watch between everything that he had before getting back to WWE and just getting as hot as he was at the moment. It makes sense that they put the title on him. It just worked for business. Now, the other thing you have to worry about, though, if you're going back to AJ, is, well, you just had the first clean finish in a world title match in over 2 years.
Right? He lost. Clean as a sheet.
Clean as a sheet. That's I saw that stat, and I had to do a double take. The fact that it had been that long since they've had a clean win in a title.
But remember, Roman Reigns was a dominant champion, and this title will be remembered forever for how great it was.
How many times Solo pulled someone from under the ring in a hood and asking, who's that?
I mean, hell, he just told you. Over 2 years without a clean fucking finish in a title match.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that is straight up WCW in the late 90s shit, but nobody ever wants to talk about it.
So what I'm hearing is we need to look through Triple H's text history and see if there's anything from a certain man from Brooklyn.
Because you know what we do with Cody
Bro.
next, huh?
I just said bro.
Yeah, I'm saying bro.
Oh, I thought you said Braun for a second, and I was getting the heat.
No,
heat.
I'm looking at the SmackDown
The
roster.
SmackDown roster, it's not that great.
You have like people that can be on their own.
Is it? This is updated
this
since
is
the draft.
Updated.
Okay.
You have AJ.
Mm-hmm.
You could do Andrade.
He's a babyface. Although you could do a title match with him.
Yeah. Bobby.
Yeah. I mean, the pride. Okay.
You've done Hayes. You did a non-title with Hayes, but you can work something like that.
That's too early to give him a title match and a push like that.
You can, if you do babyface again, it's LA Knight.
Yeah.
Ooh, you know what? I'll be honest. I'm not really clamoring for a Cody Rhodes LA Knight match. Gotta be honest with you.
You got Randy.
Babyface.
You've done Shinsuke already prior to the title.
Kevin Owens is babyface.
Santos Escobar.
I mean, that's be a hell of a jump, but you could do it. But
yeah.
Going from lower mid card to fucking main event title match, I mean,
then
you could do it.
You have DIY, you know, like, but then you have your tag teams, and it's just like, well, you have the, you know, Good Brothers DIY, you have Street Profits, you have, you know, and it's like, that's it. And
those
then
are all very low on the fucking totem pole.
Baron Corbin, Apollo Crews, those are other like single wrestlers.
Apollo Crews still works there?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
Okay.
Cedric Alexander, Dragon Lee.
Cedric Alexander. Wow.
If you throw Logan Paul and just you title, you know what I mean? Like throw him in just to.
See, like you named a couple people that they could do stuff with, but it's too early to have an Orton Cody feud. So you don't want to just rush that.
Yeah.
And Logan Paul, that's another one you want to get some mileage out of. So
Yep.
You can't
Yeah.
just throw that in there either. So, man, they really didn't do Cody a lot of favors with that SmackDown roster, man.
I could see Santos because he's the heel.
I think the other thing you do have to keep in mind here, this is Saudi money show.
So it doesn't matter. It's fucking paid for.
Yeah, they'll throw Logan Paul in that match just because they'll put a couple extra million on there.
They're bringing the they're bringing Yokozuna back and you know, in the greatest Royal Rumble of all time.
Well, they really did load Raw. Jesus Christ. Not until you read that, I didn't realize how bad it was.
So let me, well, since we're on it just quickly, where are
so
you?
The reason I like the Raw roster and I would watch Raw if I had to go, if I could, but goddamn, 3 hours.
Yeah.
They
Final
put
Testament, that's why.
All of the meat on that fucking, they could have a fucking meat
Here,
division title on Raw.
Sir, I'm on the third, I'm only three like tiles of names down, and here's your meat. Akam, sorry. Akam from AOP. Okay, meat. Strowman, Breaker, Bronson Reed, and Brutus Creed.
Jesus.
That's just three, eight. That is 12 names down.
Go down the rest of the roster. There's also Rezar from AOP.
Rezar, Gunther, McIntyre, Dijak. Just because he's, you know, big. You can put Priest in that. Ivar. Julius Creed. If you want to put Cross in, you can. Otis.
We need to.
Jones, the guy that got drafted to
Odyssey,
Raw from.
Biddle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's some serious meat on that fucking roster, man.
That's it right there, yeah.
Then you've got like Rey Mysterio and Fragile Phil and all the others.
And you can throw Sheamus in meat too.
Oh yeah, Sheamus. Don't forget Sheamus.
Yeah.
Well, you said they threw New Catch Republic on Raw as well.
Yeah, you have Tyler Bate and you have Ricochet, Zayn, Bate. You can do that for the, you know.
So they gave Raw somehow the work rate and the meat.
Yes.
And SmackDown got the bloodline.
Yeah.
And Cody.
Yep.
Well, they kind of did what I said. They kind of loaded Raw and fucked SmackDown again.
Getting ready for that next Netflix show.
Yep. God damn.
But
ugh.
But so we came off doing Backlash, and then the a day before SmackDown, they released like 10 NXT stars, and Drew Gulak. My joke is, you don't know who they were. Like someone posted who they were, and it's like last wrestled in 2000.
I looked at that list. I legit didn't know at least half of those people.
You can put them in a line and say, put the name to the face. I'll be 0-10.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, okay.
They got rid of, they did not renew Drew Gulak's contract. He was not released. They just did not renew his contract.
Well, who's going to be Triple H's new bully down in developmental now?
Bill DeMott Jr.?
Well, I mean, that's,
no,
I mean,
they got
Triple
rid of
H
that
hired
guy too.
Bill.
No.
He hired Bill DeMott and Sarah. Well, I knew her Sarah Del Rey, but Sarah D'Amato to be a little rough on him down there. And then that's what Drew Gulak was. That's what his job was. Triple H is old school, trained by Killer Kowalski. He
Absolutely.
He likes to have a bully down there.
Somebody just spike you on your neck during the middle of a match.
Right. I mean, probably not the best thing to do, but it goes, I'm like 50-50 on it. I like the old school way of, hey, man, go through some of that shit and find out if you really want to do it. But at the same time, if someone's coming back from a broken neck, yeah, maybe don't spike them.
I don't know. Corey, you might know more. I wasn't able to look at my phone much, but Lawler commentary contract didn't get renewed, but he's still part of the Legends deal.
Yeah, his commentary thing's done, but he's still under contract as a legend. So, I mean, honestly, not much changes. He did, what, two panels a year, maybe?
Yeah. So, he wasn't going to come back to commentary.
He's Vince's guard. You know, the old guard, he's part of that. This is Triple H has his chosen ones now, and all of his chosen ones were those co-opted media folks, you know, Pete Rosenberg and Sam Roberts and...
Yeah.
Ariel Helwani and all those fucking jackoffs.
I am surprised. Well, I'm not surprised, but it's how many years will be? This is his first year in how long that he won't wrestle?
Ever. It was the first year ever since he started wrestling that he won't wrestle.
That's amazing.
1970. So this is the first year since 1969 Jerry Lawler hasn't been in a wrestling match.
And it's only because of a heart attack. If he didn't have that, he was probably would have been taking the El Kabong at the Memphis show or something.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, he's had two or three strokes since that heart attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw, everybody online of the dumb, Twitter people, anybody on social about, Triple H calling out all the dirt sheets and just like, whatever. Come on.
Well, here, I'm going to give my 2 cents on it, then hopefully never talk about it again. Well, that's what happens whenever Triple H gets asked a question that isn't by a plant that he put in there to ask his fucking paper questions. Like, how did it feel to be in France? So when they asked an actual fucking question, he got shook and started talking shit about people again, because whenever he gets shook, he automatically reverts back to DX Triple H, where he starts making fun of and talking shit about people. Because he's not good at this PR thing. In fact, he's pretty fucking bad at it. It's ridiculous. Kind of sad, really. But yeah. I don't know. I'm low on Triple H because of the reasons I've made perfectly clear, and I'll be right, man. Everybody else will, you'll come around.
Yeah. Just to let everybody know, you can get your tickets now for Pow Pro Wrestling's Power Week for Brilliant Adventure and the Base Brawl 2, the second inning on May 24th and May 25th. Go to powerprowrestling.com and get your tickets now, and nosoentertainment.com for Brilliant Adventure. They just announced for the YouTube Championship, Chris Brady taking on our boy, Kane Cassidy.
I mean, he needs to win that.
As he should.
Simple and succinct.
You can get your tickets now. Since Corey, what did you think of a 10 a.m. show for
I mean, that's fine. Like I watched it live because I just happened to get up at like 8.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, shit, I guess there's no reason for me not to. Because originally I had no plan on watching it live. I was just going to watch it whenever the hell. But I was going to watch Duntaku Day Night 2 instead. But I was like, well, fuck, I'm here. Might as well watch it. It's fine. Yeah. It got over by 1. I couldn't complain. So I had plenty of my day left.
So they on Twitter the day before they made an announcement that if you watch the Kentucky Derby, they will make a special WWE announcement, and they mentioned that during the show. And during the Derby, which everybody knew, it was going to be the WrestleMania announcement, and it was just the where to, because, you know, allegedly it was supposed to go to Minnesota.
Fuck you, Minnesota, again.
But it's going to Las Vegas on April 19th and 20th.
Poor shit.
Later and later, so it could be in May, the year after that. Not a fan of that move, by the way.
No?
Hell no. I'm a man of tradition. I want my WrestleMania to be when the fuck it's supposed to be. Late March, early April. It's only been that way for 40 goddamn years.
And keep it one night, for crying out loud.
Now, I don't know. I don't know about that. Because normally I'd agree with you. But like I said, I've been watching this WrestleMania 33. And, you know, this two-night thing, it may not be so bad.
What do you think of the logo?
I like it. You know, the Vegas theme. It's cool looking.
So, yeah, they announced that. So
it's in Vegas, so that's got that going against it. But, I mean, you know.
Yeah. Should be we got a full year to find out what's the work, and I guess we talked about earlier, Rock and Roman.
You know, there's talk of moving the Rumble to sometime in late February too because of this.
Oh, jeez.
Like this upcoming one because it's a later.
Yeah, but as they move WrestleMania later, it doesn't make much sense to have the winner of the Rumble in January wait till goddamn June or whenever it is to get the fucking title match.
Damn it. Well, is it maybe because of the fact that they're having a lot of success on the ticket sales of the worldwide pay-per-view tours now?
I don't know. That's just what they want to do. Mm-hmm. It's all Nick Khan stuff. He's the one that wanted to do all this shit.
Yeah. And he's not leaving. I guess he didn't sell his stock, so.
Well, I mean, he's probably never going to leave. There's only one indication that might get him to leave, and I'm not lucky enough for that to actually go to trial. So,
let's move on to AEW. The return of Kenny Omega, as we did a 3-hour. I did not know it was going to be a 3-hour Dynamite / Rampage on Wednesday until the
day. I don't
day
know how not that they fucking pumped it for a week solid nonstop. It was annoying.
Yeah.
You definitely can't accuse them of not pumping it.
Yeah, yes,
Jesus Christ.
No secrets there.
And it's like one of those things of like, I just one of those things that blew my mind. Like it just wasn't, I didn't think of it till like they announced it's a 3-hour show. I'm like, oh yeah, it is. And then Omega comes out with like 5 minutes till. I was like, oh, okay, we're going, you know, we're doing that black screen for no reason moment type thing of.
Oh no, there's a very good reason to do it. And that's the ad revenue.
Mm-hmm.
you stop the one show and you keep it going in the other, and people stick around, and all of a sudden Rampage gets a hell of a bump.
Yeah. So Omega did that promo of, you know, it's that your classic wrestling one now of like, is he retiring type?
It's getting a little too predictable at this point.
Yeah. Go
ahead.
I was. It's like when someone hits a finisher in a move, you know, it's not the first. It's not, you know, they're kicking out at one here.
With his, it might still be in the retirement. And he's not anywhere near ready to come back, and they might have to still do surgery on
it. I wanted to ask Booble, and I just forgot to. It's like when he's talking about him, you know, crapping out of a bag. Like, didn't Lesnar go through this?
Yeah, he had diverticulitis. Yes.
And he had surgery?
Yep.
Did
he
have to
almost
crack?
died. He almost died too. I don't know about the colostomy bag.
Yeah,
But I think that's the
that's
worst case scenario.
what. Yeah, I was gonna say. I feel like is that the. We're putting the wrestling to 11 on like this is what will happen to me if I have to have it, you know?
No,
And I'm
that's a
like,
real life. No, that's a real life. That's something that could happen. And
oh,
if,
could.
yeah, no, that should, I mean, diverticulitis can kill you real
Oh,
simple.
yeah, because
It's a serious fucking.
both of them were on that verge of, you know, he said in the promo he was like 24 hours away from just dying because of it, and then I know Lesnar was super sick out of that one too.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty serious condition.
So what do? We have Jack Perry attack him.
I love
I'm about to
it.
say,
I am so in on Jack Perry.
oh, 100%. This scapegoat thing is working out like gangbusters.
And you know the
And
best part about it? The
yep.
shit-eating grin. God damn, that's money.
But no, having Okada come out first, having that stare down, because if Kenny gets healthy, you have to keep that
That's the match.
there because that's the
Yep.
match. 100%, that's the match that they want to put in front of an AEW crowd finally.
Okada's such a dick. Sorry, Kenny. I'm the best pop machine now.
I would say, do we need a heater for this? You know what I mean? Like this is one of those matches that they could be like, at Double Nothing, it's Okada versus Omega. Everyone's like, oh hell yeah. You know, there
Well,
isn't
you know,
really.
there'll be those Gimboid WWE fucks on Twitter. Oh, how come they just announced a match and didn't have an angle or nothing like that? I don't know what's going on here.
While the rest of us are thinking, oh, yeah, it's only the best in-ring set of matches of all time.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. I really wish you WWE fucks would really just watch WWE.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Can
That's what it's there for.
we have a fatal four-way?
Sure.
Just calm yourselves down, guys. Okada, Healthy Omega, Ospreay, and
Damn it.
Danielson.
I mean,
Give
sure.
it a 60-minute time limit.
And let them cook.
Let them cook.
I've never
I'd be
smoked a
fine
cigarette in my
with
life, but I need a half pack after that one.
it. Oh, yeah. That would be fucking phenomenal. And I hope it happens. I hope, yeah, no, that's going to be awesome. I thought this was a really effective angle. Bischoff called it the worst television segment he's ever seen on TV. Funny because it pretty much came straight out of his playbook.
Yeah.
But how obvious is it that he's getting cash checks weekly from WWE?
It's
I
him
mean,
and like
Jesus
Bubba
Christ.
Bully Ray and all that, because Rick texted and she's like, hey, why is Bully Ray but on Bubba always on TV now for WWE?
Because he cashed them paychecks, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
At this point, I think Cornette's even on the payroll.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, because I mean, I get it. He's always hated AEW, but for those who listened to his podcast before, it was the cool thing to do. I'm throwing shade here. He hated WWE just as fucking much, but now all of a sudden they can do no fucking wrong, and they're the better program, and blah blah blah. It's like, nope, that's not the truth. I know the truth. You hate both because you hate modern wrestling. You may like CM Punk and you may like certain el people, but all of a sudden this whole like, oh, it's so that's bullshit. I
Absolutely.
know the real truth. I know the facts.
But no, I was very surprised to see how much physicality Kenny Omega used in that
Oh,
segment. So,
probably more than any doctor would be like, what the fuck are you doing?
yeah. Well, he took a chair shot to the gut, but he also did like the snapmare suplexes.
They did the Snapdragon suplex,
Yeah,
but
he
my
did
favorite was just the simple chair to the gut by fucking Perry. There
yeah.
you
The producer gasped when that happened. He was like, oh
Oh,
shit,
so good. It was so good.
how much, you know, like, cause it's just more, you know, like he's legitimately still hurt and sick and all that. And it's just like, how much physicality can he really take? And then it's like, where do you know, a protected chair shot, but it's just like, oh shit, like,
He's doing Snapdragon.
yeah.
Did he hit a V trigger?
Did he?
I think
you
had
know
to
he
be.
didn't. He tried. He was going
He
to.
went for it, but Okada tripped him.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then
he took the EVP trigger.
Yeah. And then they set up for the Rainmaker, but then FTR came out to make the save, and nothing happened after that.
Nope. They left.
Not a single segment involving Kenny Omega happened after that, right?
Well, on Rampage, they did the whole he's on the fucking stretcher. Or no, yeah, stretcher, right?
Yeah, it was stretcher.
Yeah, I couldn't think of the word. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, that thing. He's laying down on the thing, right?
You've been watching too much MASH. The only word that came to mind was gurney.
Yeah, I was
could've
like,
been,
I'm
could've
trying
been
to think,
gurney.
like, I'm trying to pull up my, like, fucking MASH references here.
And then and
Hawkeye would be. Hawkeye would be
Litterian.
so disappointed in me. But yes, he's on the fucking stretcher. And then they come up and attack him. Because, you know,
No.
They're dicks.
And lightly place him on the ground.
Lightly. Ever so lightly.
Also we talk about how amazing the beginning of the Dynamite was of, like, you know, Tony Khan comes on the, you know, via satellite, you know, due to my injury, I'm going to be working from, you know, the Jacksonville place, and then the Elite take over. And then they're like, let's play the intro. And it's just all the Elite highlights of, like, 2 weeks.
I liked it. I thought that was cool.
I did too.
Fantastic.
I thought it was effective. And then I liked them cutting off Swerve because he was talking shit about him. I liked the fact that they pronounced Christian the number one contender, which everybody online is pissed about because, well, he hasn't been there and he lost his last match. And there's no reason for it. Well, actually, he cut the promo and told you why he's fucking
It
doing
made
it.
sense, right? It
Yeah.
made sense. You attacked my son, basically. You know, I was like, hell yes. Like,
you tried to kill my son, plus you cost me a match on the biggest show of all time.
Yeah.
I'm
Simple.
going to embarrass you.
Simple.
Yeah.
It makes sense. And I was like, Christian, yeah, I missed that part because I had to do something. And then, like, I read why the reasonings. I'm like, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. It's fine. I like that. I watched the parking lot match on goddamn. Oh, no, it was the week before. We're on Rampage
No.
with Trent and shit. I liked that.
Mm-hmm.
I like they're doing something with Trent. I don't know what it is, but I like it. Because I think he's underrated.
Well, he's no longer wrestling, storyline wise.
No, Trent.
Oh, Trent, yeah, but
yeah,
Chucky.
Gone.
Oh,
Chuck.
Fuck. Chucky. No, I'm not high on Chucky T. I mean, he's fine and all, but goddamn. No, I'm high on Trent. I don't quite understand where they're going with Don Callis coming out and getting an Orange Cassidy's ear and walking off with him.
Yeah, that's strange.
That didn't make a lot of sense to me, but hey, you know what? I'll let it play out. Who knows?
And then on this upcoming Dynamite, it's the, you know, Trent versus Orange Cassidy. So I'm like, oh, okay. Not a, could have been a pay-per-view match in a way, or, you know.
Oh, I think it's still going to be. I think this is, ends up in some sort of schmoz or something happens where it happens again at Double or Nothing.
Okay. Because
in fact,
like,
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Double or Nothing's a parking lot brawl.
I can see that.
Okay.
Because that's what they're famous for, you know.
Yeah, that seems to be Trent's go-to. So why not?
I can see that.
Looks like Will Hobbs is going to be out for a long time
Ugh.
With that knee injury. That sucks.
Yeah, it's like the when they announced the match, I was like, really on Dynamite? Like, you're hubbing this to be like a pay-per-view feud, and then it's like announced for Dynamite. I'm like, really? Come on.
The first salvo, as it were.
Yeah.
I'll say the Callis family might get involved here or something like that.
So my question to you guys is, Double or Nothing always has the anarchy in the arena.
Mm-hmm.
And it really feels like we're going towards, of course, the Elite versus FTR and other people to fight against, you know, for Omega.
Yeah.
But who?
You're not going to do Copeland.
Could Hangman come back? If
But
not,
do you put, yeah, because, but if Hangman comes back, what type of character is he? He's not going to be the, you know, psycho
Yeah, I want him to be the psycho asshole still.
I do too.
That's obsessed with Swerve. I don't want him to be avenging fucking Omega and fighting the EVPs. Which I mean, I want him to have a problem with the EVPs for firing him. But I just want that crazed fucking heel character.
Do you do Blackpool somehow? Heel. Do you put them involved?
Yeah, you know, you could.
Because they're tweeners. So
you're Moxley and Cesaro.
Yeah. You put Mox.
Danielson's doing the injury thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yuta's dead, I think. It's been so long since he's been around.
Someone
dead.
Posted a photo of I'm blanking the kid, the whoop whoop. The kid that kept jumping off the, a couple years ago, off.
That dude, the
superhuman. Yeah, superhuman.
Yeah.
And someone's like, this is what Yuta's up to. It's like,
Jesus Christ.
They still have that title match coming up.
But, you know, you could do the elites. So you have four. Do you do five? Do you do four?
It'd be four against four.
Then
there's
you
only
can do
four elite.
Then you do FTR and like Cesaro and Claudio
Moxley.
And Moxley.
Claudio and Moxley.
Yeah.
Or we start making the build. When is the next Wembley show?
August 25th or 4th or somewhere.
Okay, so it might be a little too soon to start building things. But if we want to go towards who's the next person going after Okada's title, and you have this man on your roster named Will Ospreay, you might start building towards that.
Except for it looks like Will Ospreay is going to win the international title.
Oh, that's right. He's going after international title.
Yeah.
I forgot
that double
that.
Nothing.
I think they're trying to make all those belts feel as important as possible by putting them on big, big dudes.
Yeah. I forgot the international title was a thing.
Yeah, because like I'm looking at the roster for AEW right now, and it's just kind of like, you know, who do you put against the, you know, four
Here's
guys?
What
you
I want. I don't care how you use them, but now especially that Hobbs is hurt, I just want something meaty and substantial for Takeshita.
Yeah,
I want him pushed to the fucking moon. If Okada and Ospreay didn't sign, I would have wanted him to be the world champ at some time in the next year and a half. Build him up really good.
Do you build him up? If you say you take Moxley, if New Japan puts him defending the title at Double Nothing, do you put it against Takeshita? You just make this build now.
No, because he's a DDT wrestler, and
there's a lot of DDT things to figure out
about. You know, Japan has a lot of.
No, like politicking type
politics,
thing. Like, hey, you can't have him, even though it's in your company.
Not for their belt. I mean, I bet they wouldn't care if they just wrestled, but not for their belt.
God, I was looking at the roster there, and they have Shibata next to Okada, and it's like, well, no, we can't put those two back in the ring together again,
dude. People are pissing their pants online. I get it. Shibata is not the same Shibata of 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's what he is now. I'm just happy that he's able to get in the ring and do what he loves.
Oh, absolutely. But
I enjoy – he's kind of leaning into – I don't want to call it comedy wrestling because that's not what it is. But did you watch the Jericho match?
I did.
I have not seen it.
Yes.
So, you know, it was very un-Shibata-like. I mean, he's fucking – Jericho puts a garbage can on his head and hits him with a kendo stick, and he just no-sells it and starts backing Jericho into the corner as he keeps hitting him with the stick.
He hulks up, basically. Shibata
yeah.
up, you know.
And then Jericho's in the fucking corner cowering with a stick in his hand against a fucking can. They wrestled on top of hockey pucks and shit. I mean, it's not Shibata, but it's cool that Shibata's doing stuff now.
We're just happy he's alive.
I mean, they took his brain out, remember?
Yeah, I'm looking at the roster right now, and it's just like, you know, you can't do Copeland because it's going to be Malakai versus him.
Mm-hmm.
I love Copeland's taking on someone from the House of Heart, House of Black, and it's like, it's Sting all over again. Who does Copeland want? He's going to take Malachi on. We're going to give you Brody. It's like, no. Right,
damn it.
Yeah.
I don't want six. I want fucking, God damn it. It'll be interesting to see what Copeland does after, because, you know, he's kind of showing the beginning of a heel turn.
Yeah.
It was during that Kyle O'Reilly promo. Because they've got this, I mean, at least they're sticking with it, but everybody that Malachi Black missed in the face turns heel.
That's
it's been
true.
Like five people. It's been like five people now, and he missed it Adam Copeland the other week, and he's starting to be, you know, he got a little lippy with Kyle, and it's like, God damn it, they're already starting a slow, weird heel turn.
And Malachi doing, like, you know, hit him with the chairs, hit him, do it.
That's true. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on.
Yeah. But we do have the learning tree now with Big Bill joining.
Jericho? I'm not too sure, but I said a lot of interesting stuff, but I wasn't exactly including that. I don't know what the Jericho just needs to go away for a while.
Yep, 100%.
Go tour with Fozzy for 6 months.
Sadly, he is, but then it's like, you know, he somehow still makes weekly shows.
Well, don't feel the need to not tour on Wednesdays. You can book some stadiums on Wednesday. And by stadiums, I mean small fucking bars, to play your one hit in, and just, you know, kill it. Just kill
you
it,
can,
man.
Go on another cruise.
Dude. Yeah, do another one of those like fucking COVID infested cruises.
I think I found the third babyface team.
Who?
Daniel Garcia.
They are building him up.
And he's been teaming with FTR a lot.
Yep. That wouldn't be a bad choice if you really want to get him going.
And they didn't the Elite mock him a couple weeks ago too?
Yep.
So you can have that if they're building him up.
Not a bad pool.
Then weirdly just throwing Eddie Kingston, because he's always thrown into the, you know, we need a loose cannon. That's Eddie Kingston. You know,
yeah, they got nothing else for him to do, so might as well just fucking
put Pac in the match.
Oh, no, the bastard. Yeah, you know what? He's a bastard.
Yeah, there you go, because of him and Okada.
Yeah, it'll work.
Yeah. A rad tag group. That's a rad tag group. I've never seen one. But then he's like, why don't you just do the with Penta and stuff? And it's like, well, it was supposed to be Penta and Ray Phoenix at a Hog show, but Phoenix got hurt again.
He's still not cleared all the way.
Yeah. So he wasn't able to join. With the dumb Jericho, we get Guevara if he ever returns in the group. Is it another group of five like he has been rolling with?
I hope not.
Or is it just...
There's a whole bunch of people they can just go ahead and release. And so Guevara is one of them. Jake Hager is another one. Let's see. Oh, okay. Before we end anything, I saw a roll of tweets this weekend that had me thinking, God damn, what is this wrestling world coming to? So this girl, she looks to be in her 20s by the picture, if it's even really her, who knows, you know, is it Twitter? And she's like, I've had it with all the blood on AEW. It doesn't have to be every week. And some guy replies, you would have never been able to survive Prime ECW. And she's like, I was around. I've seen Prime ECW, and I don't remember Jake Swagger or Sheamus ever bleeding.
Good God.
And I was like, holy fuck. Oh, my God. That's what the wrestling world has come to?
Yes. Yes, it is.
I'm sad.
What the hell?
Before we get off of AEW, really quick, I heard online today that Ricky Starks was in Jacksonville for a physical update. So
Hopefully
that's going swimmingly. I'd like to see him back in the ring soon.
Yeah, I'd like to see him back, even though I gotta assume as soon as that contract is done, he's going straight to WWE.
Oh, yeah.
He's Cody's boy, which is fine. Good for him. Get that bag. I like Ricky Starks. He's good in the ring. I'd like to see him back and healthy.
Yeah.
They've certainly moved Big Bill on, so the tag team's done, I guess.
Yeah. Yep. And I don't ever see baby face, you know, Ricky Starks for some reason joining Jericho. Don't worry, Jericho can send him packing by having him beat Starks for his last match, you know, like, you know, you want Big Bill, you gotta go through me. And then, you know, Jericho, that's gonna be Starks' last match, probably getting an L by Chris Jericho.
That's fine. Or whatever. he goes back to WWE. He can take Jericho with him.
There you go.
Just load up the van. Take Jericho, Swagger, Jeff Hardy.
Mercedes.
I was going to say, if it's possible, slip Mercedes in the back there. She can go. There's probably five or six other people.
Corey, for your birthday present, we're going to sign you up for Monet's blog.
Oh,
her weekly newsletter. Yeah.
A treat like none other, I'm sure.
Have you give us the rundown of what she's up to every week?
Worshipping herself. They already did it. Don't even have to subscribe.
Nope. There you go.
There you go.
Did you watch anything else, Corey?
I did watch both nights of Dontaku. Better than expected. It would have been better if they just had one night and really, you know, kind of solidified the main matches on one night. I do have to say this, though. What the fuck is Gato doing? Kenta and Chase Owens won the tag belts again.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck is happening? I like both guys just fine. Don't get me wrong. But when you give the tag belts again to the broken down husk of Kenta and chubby Ricky Morton, what are you doing? What are you doing? Bishamon isn't exactly the most, you know, fucking exciting goddamn team in the history of the world, but at least they're a good fucking team.
They're a who great can move. Team.
Like, what is this giving them a 1 month reign and then going back to Kenta and Chase Owens? That's your tag team division? Holy
the
fuck.
The best part is when we get to Dominion, it's probably going to switch back to Bushimon.
What I don't understand is you've got TMDK right the fuck there.
Yeah. It sounds literally. Like that's the norm for them. That, hey, they're right there.
Yeah. That's a tell as old as time. TMDK killing it in the tag ranks, no matter what company they're in, but they never get the tag belts. They're just right there putting on good matches
for over 50 years.
So I'm thinking what they're trying to do right now is inflate the number of title reigns by Bushimon to make sure they have more than GOD.
God damn it. So we're going to get like back and forth for all year. Wait, they just go full Titan and then Zach. They'll have fucking mysterious title changes on fucking shows that never happen.
Yep.
Goddamn. You know, but they'll, you know what? Bishamon defeated Chase Owens and Kenta in Rio de Janeiro the other week to win the IWGP tag belts again.
In that house show that was not recorded because their flash drive.
Right. They lost the flash drive again.
Don't worry. The flash drive they're going to bring back and it's just going to be fixed. Like, oh, what? What's this?
Goddamn.
We didn't lose all the information for our entire fan club.
What has happened to this company, Jeff? I mean,
it's called Bushiroad.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you were on the ground in Japan. You would maybe you got so many insights that we don't have here. Like, what the fuck is happening here?
So, the parent company Bushiroad, they care about one thing and one thing only: mobile games.
Yeah, okay.
Basically mobile games, card games, collectible card games, and idols. Cuz that's where their money is. They have the same voice actors, one of which is the wife of Okada, do three characters and make as much money as possible. Wrestling is about level 54 on their agenda. Behind a weird mobile game of woman horse racing centaurs. This is actually a thing. And that's where they make 90% of their profit is off of people buying shit on mobile games.
Fair enough.
And then wrestling is just that thing that happens because, you know, there are a
Oh my
bunch of
God.
guys who are 60-year-olds that loved watching, you know, the Three Musketeers back in the day.
Oh my God. Jeff, are
So.
you telling me that not it's not AEW that's like WCW, it's fucking New Japan.
It's
Company that owns
worse.
it, that doesn't want it.
It's as if Ted Turner was still there, but it's still being bought by Time Warner,
Oh no.
AOL. So it's again, it's it. Well, they bought Stardom, Bushiroad did, and it didn't make them enough money, so they just sold all the rights back to New Japan, to create that new conglomerate. Which they say it's, you know, it's mostly just for making sure we know where each group's going to be because Stardom is in a lot of trouble. Especially the end of last year was horrendous. They had to cancel a show because they booked the wrong stadium, I think it was.
Got you.
And there, you know, wrong time frames. Wrestlers didn't know where they were going. Contracts. Who knew what the contract situation was? There's a reason why half the group just left to go to Marigold.
I would say that might have been on purpose by old Ogawa there, but
There's a lot of that too. Depending on which 13-year-old he could get to dinner that night, but I
oh.
digress. It's been an absolute horror show these last couple of years. And again, look at the contract situations with Aussie Open. Look at the contract situation with Okada, with Osprey. They're
Jay White.
Jay White, absolutely. They have, or the Gorillas of Destiny.
Yeah.
They have bungled this over and over again, and they've brought in new management. They've changed who's in charge of things, and it's all been corporate yes-men. It's all been people looking at the bottom line of Bushiroad, who are just looking at how can we get scantily clad AI images to play you music? That's a thing.
Japan in a nutshell, right
Yeah. It's weird.
there.
But it's very sad when you look at it as a wrestling fan, which
Yeah.
let's be honest, that's why you put Tanahashi at the president of New Japan. It wasn't a business move, it was a hey, look, we care.
It's a PR
Things
move.
are okay. This
As they're
isn't
putting
an
on some
Aoki.
pretty bad cards.
Yeah, this is an Aoki running the thing. This is a face in front of the company to make you feel happy and
To
then have
distract you.
him give himself title matches every other week.
Well, at this point, who the fuck else is there?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, it's dire, man. I couldn't help. I mean, I know they're trying to build people up in that. I know that House of Torture is popular in Japan for getting booed, but I
Yeah.
just couldn't stop thinking watching that main event of night two. Rin Narita is in the fucking main event in an IWGP title match. What is going on? I couldn't. I mean, and he's talented. I like him. I like him, but I couldn't get past it. I'm like, well, what are we doing here?
And the weird part is he's the last of the Three Musketeers, I think, to have a title match.
Yeah. Yep.
Tsuji got one night one of
First
him
night,
coming
night
back.
one. Well, actually, no. Shota is getting one next week. That's his first
Yeah,
one, isn't it?
Shota's okay. Yeah, Shota's getting
So
his next
Shota's the
week.
last.
Yeah. And they're not ready.
No, they're nowhere near ready.
They're
Tsuji's
going to be,
closer.
oh yeah, Tsuji's going to be the star of the three, 100%.
But
But
even he's not ready yet.
we're still 3 years out from them being ready to carry the company.
So let me ask you a question. Do you put any stock in the whole Okada refused to put any of them over last year? Because it's kind of weird that he may not have told them until January that he's leaving. But I have a hard time believing they didn't know something was possibly up. And all those three young guys came back in the last year, and they did nothing with them that entire time.
Well, look at the whole
Shouldn't
thing
that
with,
time been used?
but look at, I mean, you set up that beautiful thing with Kiyomiya and Okada.
Yep. Did nothing.
And there's no payoff.
Nope.
You bring in these three musketeers, these three young guys who are going to be the future of the company, and you did nothing with it. Now, I understand it's a little bit different how they do business in Japan in comparison to how they do things in America, but still usually guy's going to put over somebody going out. They also, on the other hand, owed Okada everything.
Yep.
They could not refuse anything because he had carried that company for a decade. He is the single best champion in that company's history.
Yeah, but at some point I'd have been like, dude, we appreciate you and we've paid it back a thousandfold. Can you put one guy over on the way out?
And
ain't got no time for that.
Yeah, what you, which is total wrestler 101.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, well, that don't work
creative
for me,
doesn't work for me, brother.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that was when I first saw, again, I always thought Okada was going to stay. I was flabbergasted when I saw that he announced that he was leaving. So when I saw that initial thing saying he's gone and he hadn't put over any of the young guys, I'm thinking, oh, he's just going to go for a couple years. He'll come back and he'll do the old veteran thing for a little bit because he's still fairly young.
He's 37.
Yeah. No, he's not coming back to New Japan.
Yeah. Did you see his, he was very blunt in an interview. He never plans on going back to New Japan.
Absolutely not.
And I was like, so let me ask you this. What's the story that we don't know? Why is he like, so like, I'm never fucking going back.
Again, I think the one word you have to look at when it comes to that is Bushiroad.
Yeah.
The way that they ran things, the way that I'm sure there are stories in the background, especially again, I have no information on this, but yeah, knowing how the industry works and how many scandals there are in the industry of young talent, especially when it comes to idols and voice actors, I would not be surprised if there are stories that are very not good between how his wife came up in the industry and Bushiroad. Or,
you know, that's could be very true.
Or friends or co-workers and how they've been treated. Again, Kenny didn't say it out loud, but he pretty much hinted at the whole thing. He said a lot.
Without saying it, he said a lot.
Yeah, and that is unfortunately a very continuous theme in the entertainment sector in Japan. Last year, the two biggest stories in the country were Shohei Ohtani strikes out Mike Trout. That's a thing. And the biggest boy band in the country's history and the sexual abuse scandals behind it.
Ooh.
And those were bigger stories than the former prime minister being assassinated.
That's surprising.
That is a legitimate thing. A, it shows... A, they are way too crazy about baseball. And two, there are so many dark hidden secrets in how the entertainment industry was built in Japan.
Oh, yeah. Well, it doesn't just happen in America, folks. It's all over the world.
It is. And it was an understood thing that was just a fact of life and nobody questioned it. Now things like the Me Too movement and all these things in the West where social media has become more of a thing. And now you have more of an international eye on the country and you're able to get the news of that country. And those stories come out and they hit harder.
You're just surprising me because I had no idea that Dan Schneider went to Japan and started managing boy bands.
Oh man. It's insane. I don't have all the information because my Japanese is better than it was 6 years ago, but it's not that good. But it was every night on the news you would see stories about that. And it's and Vince McMahon ran a boy band. That's kind of how it went.
Oh, that's terrible.
So
that sucks because that company's gone to shit. And like,
it is.
But you know what? I also think they knew Okada was leaving. I think that because if you look at his booking last year, they did fuck all with him for an entire year. How do you have absolutely. That guy under contract and not do anything with him if it's there's not something behind the scenes that's like, you know what, there's heat here, fuck him, we'll just put him in a six-man tag and do goddamn nothing with him.
Yeah. But, you know, it's really sad to see. Again, I've been such a huge fan of New Japan for a while now. And I think legitimately I am lucky. I'm beyond lucky that I was there, but to see Wrestle Kingdom when I did, because that's kind of the cliff after that show. After the roll call with Naito, half the guys on that card are gone.
And be honest, there's another third of the group have no business wrestling. Mm-hmm. It's getting to the part where the tag matches at the beginning of the show are embarrassing because like Togi Makabe can barely move and Hanma is a fucking, it's disgraceful to watch him work. These guys should not be in there, even in those worthless fucking tag matches.
Oh, absolutely.
It's embarrassing. And it's like, God damn. And fucking Yujiro Takahashi, who I don't think has tried since 2013.
Absolutely. It's like, no.
They need to get rid of all those people, too. I mean, it's fucking, they need a goddamn, I mean, but they can't because they're going to replace.
Exactly. And I mean, you just watched two shows this last weekend with title matches. That I mean, or with matches that involved Tanahashi, and we've been talking about this for a couple of years now that he needs to slow down.
Oh, he's cooked. That's the second time in a week that I've watched Nick Nemeth wrestle himself for a title match.
Yeah,
and that ain't good. And I know David. David Finlay. He ain't it, man. I like him, but he's mm-hmm. not it.
He's tried. I applaud him for taking the risk on this character and trying something new. And I could see there was something there. It's just, he's not it.
Well, also I think what didn't help there is the fact that it's like, well, you had him as a lower card jobber for 10 years. So how are they going to take him seriously now as this fucking main event Bullet Club leader?
And I mean, at this point, is Gabe Kidd the leader of the Bullet Club?
Dude, I will say this though: him and Shingo had a goddamn 4.5-star match at Dontaku. That thing was fucking crazy.
I'm looking forward to him and Kiyomiya for the title.
See, like that was good. The rest of it, man, and the LIJ guys outside of Naito and Shingo and Tsuji tries, but it's like Time Bomb and Bushi—they don't even try. They're just on fucking autopilot and. Things are dire, man. It's not good.
I know the answer, but my joke is this. It's, you know, the fun thing of who's lasted longer, New Japan or TNA?
I think we might be going into a dark age, like 2000 through like 2008, 2009 again.
Hey, it's the time for Noah to step up and take charge.
I keep wanting All Japan to rise from the ashes again, but yes.
I know I felt bad. I had a chance to see the All Japan show. Timing just didn't work out when I was in that last couple weeks in Japan. And I went to the Seedling show instead on Sunday. Because they're starting their tournament.
Yeah, I haven't been able to watch it, but I've been following it and I'm interested in it. They have some talent there too. It's just boy, all those Japan's struggling as a whole wrestling wise. I mean, Dragon Gate's a fucking shell of its former self, and you can't pay me
somehow.
To watch
somehow,
Japan.
The strongest industry in Japanese wrestling is second level Joshi.
Right?
They're all having great shows.
Marigold? No.
Marigold's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing what that first show brings just to get a feel for it. But I still think, and if Stardom could have kept Megan Bain, I think she could have been huge over there.
How do you think Julia is going to do in NXT?
She's too good for NXT.
When she snaps Cora Jade's fucking neck on a suplex. And...
She. I understand working the cameras and stuff like that. She needs to get used to that, but
you know what?
Way too good for the NXT.
I used to buy that shit too until Okada and Ospreay showed up week one on AEW and had it fucking nailed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you know what? I don't buy that shit anymore. If you're a pro, you know what the fuck you're doing.
So just show her. Hey, these are your cameras. Go. There you go.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And but, she's got the presence and charisma to pull it off.
Yeah, but she's gonna go NXT. They're gonna, you know, change her name, and then it's gonna be the
to Jane.
To, yeah, and then it's gonna be, you know, introduce, you know, her to the American public.
Yeah.
If they didn't, you know. But
well, this ought to scare you guys. I was thinking really long and hard about who could, you know, Dominion's a big show, and I was like, who can Moxley take on it at Dominion? And after, especially after Dontaku finished, I was like, God damn it, it's evil.
Oh yeah, everything
it's
is
Moxley
evil.
And evil at the arguably the second biggest show of the year for them. God damn it.
And is it strange that there's a very good chance that Evil wins that match?
I mean, Moxley can't hold that for too long. So, yeah, there's an excellent chance Evil will go into the G1 as the world champ.
Yikes.
It's the darkest timeline. I'm trying to find a comparable. Like, it's like the Attitude Era if they put the belt on Val Venus and just said, there you go, have at it.
And you know what this means, right? We're going to pay off the save at the end of this year's Wrestle Kingdom. And next year's Wrestle Kingdom main event is going to be Sonata versus Evil.
Again. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That might be the first Kingdom I miss since, like, 15. I don't think I can do that.
It all sets up for it.
God. Because, I mean, I know he's over in Japan, but Sonata, that did not work. I mean, from American eyes, that was a brutal reign. It's like, God damn. He's an okay wrestler, but I know it's a certain type of charisma, but man, it did not translate. And it was not a main event level.
Oh, yeah. And so, now he's hurting. They're replacing him in all his matches with Tai Chi.
So you're telling me the first Kingdom that I can watch that's on like a day off of mine and maybe one of the worst ones? That
if it's fucking
out.
Sonata and Evil, holy moly.
Unless they're going to make it Naito and Evil and Naito loses again.
No, I joked earlier about the broken down husk of Kenta, but Jesus, Naito's not far behind. They're really hurting for like legitimate stars. Naito was it after all those guys left him. I mean, there's a reason he lost the title 3 months after winning the goddamn thing.
And I appreciate all the fans online hoping and wishing and praying for it to be ZSJ to get the title, but
it's not gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen.
And if I were him right now, I'd politic for it not to happen.
Yeah, I don't want to be with this. They'll blame all of the bad ticket sales on him.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to fucking grapple. I'd be like whoever it is gonna. This is like the Diesel. This is like the 95 WWF era. Like, you want to be the champ during this time frame? No matter who you are, you're gonna get fucking railroaded. Ah, terrible, 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 terrible.
Well, we have we got 6 months?
Seven months
to find out the darkest timeline for New Japan. But you have 2 weeks? Yeah, 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For Powerpuff Wrestling's Power Week, which you can get your tickets for Brilliant Adventure and the Baseball 2 second innings at PowerProWrestling.com or NoSellEntertainment.com, where you can also find all the things we do for you. You can find us all on the social medias on Facebook, Twitter, X, the Instagram, and the NoSell Discord. You can also listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to your podcasts.